Well, let me ask a question. How many of you really want to be loved? Really want to be loved? Probably most of us here want to be loved. How many feel loved? Do you really feel loved? How many are able to give love, and not only give love, but receive love? Love is the greatest thing in all the world. In fact, Paul put it this way: faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. I love the book of 1 John. John says this way. He says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And whether you know it or not, that's the greatest need you have today, is to be loved. And I got good news for you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Love. I want to preach today on the subject. I've been thinking this week how to really love. And some pieces of the puzzle I hope will come together. I've been really seeking the Lord about our families and about our marriages and about our relationships with our children and our grandchildren. And I'm convinced that we could love each other a little bit more. I'm convinced that we can respect each other a little bit more. I'm convinced that we can appreciate, watch this, appreciate each other a little bit more. Speaking of love, I'm reminded of this older man in his, well up in his 90s, he got married to this young lady in her early 20s, and the older man suspected that the young lady married him because of his money, and he was a wealthy man. And so one day he asked her, would you really love me if I lost all my money? And she looked at him and said, sure, I would love you, and I'd miss you terribly, all right? I wouldn't be around very long. But love is the greatest thing in all the world. And by the way, how many of you get the Consumer Report magazine? Do you get the Consumer Report magazine? In the Consumer Report magazine, I cut out an article. And this particular article has to do with love. And in fact, did you know right now that there are people that are going to the internet for relationships? I cut this article out, Consumer Report Magazine, 2017, February 2017. How many get the Consumer Report Magazine? Any of you? All right. Anyway, in this particular article, it tells, and so I made some pictures on my telephone, transferred it over in a PowerPoint where you could see it. Match me if you can. I mean, nowadays you can buy anything on the, online, shoes and clothes and whatever you want. And guess what else? Now, a large number of the population are going to the internet, to online, for finding the right person, somebody to love them. In fact, according to this article that I cut out, would you believe it, that here is the page you're looking at, 27% of online daters who use more than one service tried four or more. And let me just tell you why some people are feeling empty. They're feeling like they're needing love. Some of you today are feeling like you aren't really loved. I know deep down inside, you may put on a front on the outside, but deep down inside, there's that great need for love. You need somebody to love you unconditionally. You need somebody to care for you. You need somebody that you know that's committed to you. And I want to tell you, you and I will never be able to really experience love, nor be able to give love until we first experience the love of God. Because it's that love whereby we're able to love others. Jesus said it this way, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. John put it this way in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know we pass from death into life because we love the brethren. We love the brethren. Say that with me. We love the brethren. Say it again. We love the brethren. That's how we know we pass from death into life. And then John says, beloved, let us not love in word and tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, love is something more than an emotion. Well, these that are going to the internet trying to find relationships, do you know what I discovered? You can't see it from where you're sitting, but I'll read it right here on this column. What's the main reason why people are trying online dating? I'm not going to ask you if you've done that. I mean, that's your business. If you've done it, that's fine. But you know what some people are saying? They say they're looking for a serious relationship. Men, 47% say that. 41% of the women say they're looking for a serious relationship. And then 25% of men and 28% of women say they are looking to find people to date casually. Then 25% of the men and 28% of the women say they're curious who's out there. They're just dabbling in things to see who's out there. I know probably the younger generation, there are things that maybe perhaps there as well. And then some, 23% of men and 25% of women are looking for a serious relationship that does not include marriage. And, by the way, do you know some of these online matchmaking, love put together, if you will, online servers? First, there is the Match.com. You know how much it costs to go on to Match.com for a month? I see some of you writing this down. $21 a month. It costs you $21 a month to go to Match.com, and they will match you up with somebody who is, quote, compatible. You know, I mean, they'll match up this and that. Now, you know the only problem with this, beloved? Look up here. The problem was this, and I've had the privilege of being a pastor now 25 years. Coming up in Valentine's Day, we'll celebrate our 30th year full-time Christian ministry. I remember that. To God be the glory. And it's been a privilege to work with a lot of couples, married couples, premarital counseling. Here's what I've noticed all these number of years, and I hadn't arrived. I'm still learning too. And even in my own marriage of 35 years, going on 36, I've noticed that what people have a tendency to do when they first meet somebody is to do what? To hide the real you. Don't throw a monkey wrench in it. Somebody said this. They said what you ought to do before you get married is find your supposedly mate to be and hang around them, take care of them while they got the flu. And if you can take care of them when they got the flu, you can stick with them. Amen and amen. But in addition to the Match.com, eHarmony is another website or an online meet this Mr. Wonderful and Ms. Wonderful. Anyway, it's $20 a month. And then in addition to that, they've got Plenty of Fish is another online dating site. And then OkCupid is another dating online site. Then you've got, watch this, Senior People Meet. It's not just a younger generation. It's senior people that are, and I'm not making fun of it. If that's what you're doing, that's fine. I'm just simply pointing it out. This is an article I read. And I want to use this as an illustration as we think for a while today on how to really love. But Senior Adults, Senior People Meet is the website. Guess how much it costs? Evidently, they did a little reduction there, $15 a month. And maybe it's a senior discount. I don't know. But anyway, I'm getting close to there. And they've got a lot of other websites, online dating, that you can see if you can meet the right one. Well, match me if you can. I want you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 12, please. And here are four pieces of the puzzle the Lord had put in my heart that must come together if we're going to really love each other. And I've got a feeling as you turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, there's some of us today, truth be known, look at me, the truth be known, some of you, young people, you hadn't told mom and dad you loved them a long time, have you? Why not? You take them for granted? Hey, today you need to tell mom and dad you love them. And all the moms said, amen. And what about it? Husbands and wives? Have you told your wife you love her in a while? I heard about one old boy that been married over 35 years, and his wife was starving for love, and she said to him, "Why don't you ever tell me you love me?" He said, "Well, when we got married, I told you I loved you, and if anything changes, I'll let you know, all right?" Don't be like that, for heaven's sake. But anyway, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, you know this very well. But the Lord led me to this passage because in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus makes this comment, and yet Mark adds a word that we'll see in a moment. Here's four pieces of the puzzle that you and I need to bring together as we think for a little while on the subject of how to really love. How to really love. Four pieces to the puzzle. I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. If you would, stand if you'd like to read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Mark, chapter number 12. And, of course, you know Mark is a secretary of Peter. Mark was one who had the privilege of joining Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. However, something happened. We're not absolutely sure what, but he departed nonetheless, and yet he was still valuable to the gospel ministry because Paul, as he's dying in a Roman prison, he says, bring John Mark. He's profitable for the ministry. So we come to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Now skip over, please, to verse 28. Mark, chapter 12, verse 28. Here are four pieces to a puzzle the Lord gave me to give to you as we think for a while on how to really love one another. Mark, chapter 12, verse 28. If you're there, say amen. And one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Notice, Mark concludes the word strength. In Matthew's gospel, it's just with your heart, your soul, and your mind. But here Mark says, and with your strength. That means everything you are. This is the first commandment. Look at that last part of verse 30. And the second is like this, namely this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. I want you to look back at verse 30 and let's say that together. You ready? Here we go. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is the Word of God. And I want us to consider these four pieces of the puzzle as we think of how to really love each other. Father, I thank you now for your love for me. Oh, God, I just can't quite fathom it all. I can't get my little finite mind around the love of God, how you'd give your son to die for my sins and take my punishment. And, dear Lord, how you'd come and live within me and you would express your life in us, your church, and through us, Father. Thank you now for the love of Calvary. Thank you now for the love we have one to another and love for you. And I pray today, Father, that there'll be a Holy Ghost baptism of the love of Christ in each believer today, that you'll give us capacity. You'll help us to go a little further. You'll help us to go the extra mile to show and to grow and to know not only your love, but love for each other, that God, you'll get glory, and that our families will be strengthened and the community be changed. And Father, you get glory and praise because we bless you. It's about you and not about me. So Lord, tear down the strongholds of the enemy, ways the devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy. Father, hurtful words and Lord, unresolved conflicts of the past, we ask you to extend the balm of Gilead. And God, just do a supernatural work in the hearts of daddies today and hurting mamas today and young people and sons and daughters and grandparents. Oh, Father, rebuild the broken down walls. And we'll thank you and praise you because we love you, and it's all because you loved me first. You loved us first, Lord. You came looking for me. You sought us out first. I wasn't looking for you. You sought me out and bought me with your own blood. And you deserve my all in all. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's four pieces to the puzzle that we're going to go today as we think for a moment about how to really love. I hope you're writing notes here because I think this will help you. This will help marriages. This will help families. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but perhaps I suppose there's a lot of us today that we think that we've got the perfect marriage, or we think we've got the perfect children, or we think we've got the perfect home, and all actuality is not as perfect as we want to imagine it is. For example, most men, if you ask them to judge or to base their marriage between 1 and 10, you know what most men would say? 7 or 8. You know what most women would say? 4 or 5. I mean, there's a difference in the two. And so, listen, four pieces to the puzzle. Here they are. Number one, love with participation. Love with participation. Jesus said you're to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And so there it is, participation with all our strength. Number two, the second piece in this puzzle, that it comes to fit together, is not only when we love, and we're going to be talking about the love of God, but we're also going to be talking about love parents have for children, mamas and daddies for sons and daughters, and for us as loving brothers and sisters, Christian friends. Next, not only participation, but love with number two, conversation. Love with conversation. And that is found in the same text. If I could use that as a telescopic exposition, if you will. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Say it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that's what God wants for you and me. Number three, not only are we to love each other in with participation and with conversation, but number three, and put in conversation, I use the word soul there. Love the Lord with all your strength, all your soul. Number three, love, we're to love not only with participation and not only with conversation, but number three, with alteration. Alteration. That means change. And I get that from the text. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Say it with me one more time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. All right? And finally, last but not least, is not only are we to love each other with participation and conversation and alteration, number four, with dedication, with dedication. And there I get the word heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Say it with me one more time. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Why do we say it over again? Because it takes, when we repeat the word of God, the word of God gets in us. Number one, love the Lord your God with all of your strength. Participation. What I mean by participation. Here's what I mean by participation. Find out what God's up to and join Him. You want to love the Lord? If I ask you why you're here today, you'd say, because I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And I want to love the Lord more. I want to love my God more. Well, if we really want to love our God more, and if we really want to love each other, mamas and children, then participation is one of the missing pieces of the puzzle that has got to come together to complete us. What I mean by participation. First of all, let's talk about God and His love. Finding out what God is up to in your life. I want to ask you a personal question. Hey, what is God up to in your life right now? What is God up to in your life? Do you see what God is doing? Do you understand what God is wanting to do in your life? Are you even aware that God has a plan for you? Are you even interested in joining God, what He's doing in your life and what He's doing in the world? Number one, participation. You say, but what is God doing in the world? Three thoughts. Number one, God is caring. God is caring. Number two, God is sharing. Number three, God is preparing. Number one, God is caring for the world. If I want to be used of God, if I want to have a love relationship with my God, I've got to join the Lord and participate what He's doing. Well, what is He doing? He is caring for a lost world. He's caring for His own bride, the body of Christ. Jesus put it this way in the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. Here is a parable of a lost sheep, a lost silver, and a lost son. Really two lost sons. But in the parable, Jesus is speaking to publicans and Pharisees and tax collectors. Remember what He said? He said the shepherd would leave, watch this, 99 sheep, go after what? One lost sheep. The shepherd wouldn't say, all right, just one lost. We don't care about that one. We've got 99 right here. Let's just sit down and enjoy the 99. No, He said there's one lost sheep out there. And Jesus said that shepherd would go out looking for that one lost sheep. And when he finds it, he will lay it on his shoulders and he will rejoice. And then the Lord said this, there is likewise rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. That's what the Lord is doing today. He's seeking out lost sheep. He's seeking out those who don't know him. He's calling us to look and see of the drunkards that are out there that don't have time for God, and the alcoholics and the drug addicts and the prostitutes and the teenagers that are mixed up and the children that are coming from broken homes and the senior adults that are about ready to die. He's caring for the world out there. And if we want to have a love relationship with him, then we've got to join him, praise God, and when we go out, we can reach the lost with the wonderful word of God and watch the power of God transforms lives, because he's still in the life-changing business. He sure is. He's in the life-changing business. Well, he's changed my life. I know he's changed my life. He said they'd be rejoicing over that woman that sweeps. She's got 10 coins. One of them's lost. She lights a candle. She sweeps diligently until she finds it. And when she finds it, she's calling up her neighbors and said, the one lost coin. She didn't say, well, I've got 9 right here. No need to worry about that one coin. No. The Lord's saying that she swept until she finds it. And then she calls up her friend and says, guess what? I found that lost coin. I'm telling you, Jesus said there'll be joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. And furthermore, church, we as a body of Christ, we ought to say hallelujah, glory be to God, when somebody tastes of the grace of God, when somebody passes from death into life, when somebody experiences God's forgiveness and comes by simple childlike faith. The body of Christ ought to join the angels and say glory, glory, glory. Find out what God's doing and join him. He's caring. See what else he's doing? He's sharing. The Lord is sharing his life with you and me. Jesus said it this way, I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Say it with me. I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. He's not only caring, he's sharing. He's given us his life. Look at me. He said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will be with you, in you, and upon you, and will guide you into all truth. Paul said, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. What is God doing? How can we have a love relationship with God? We find out what he's doing, and we join him with participation, caring, sharing his divine life. No wonder Paul wrote in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. No wonder he wrote in Philippians 2:13, God's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. No wonder he said in Ephesians 4:30, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Oh, no wonder he said that again, that I will never leave you nor forsake you in Romans chapter or Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Caring, sharing, but he's also preparing. I'm talking about how to really love. I'm convinced you can't love your husband, or you can't love your wife, or you can't love your children until you first experience the love of God. And it's hard to love somebody else when you don't even have a love relationship with the God that made you and the God that bought you and the God that's coming back for you. Do you love the Lord? Don't you want to go a little further? Don't you want to go a little higher? Don't you want to know him and know the power of his resurrection? Oh, you can't outlove God. You can't outgive God. You can't outserve God. He's a great God, and he deserves our all. Amen. He's great. He's done some wonderful things in my life, and I know he's done some wonderful things in your life too. So, caring and sharing and preparing. Jesus put it this way in John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's preparing us, beloved. He's preparing a place for us. And by the way, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, in the context of the Olivet Discourse, Jesus put it this way. Be also ready, for you think not the hour the Son of Man comes. All right, we've talked about what God is up to. Are you joining God? Why are you running this way and God's going this way? I ask you a question. Why are you running this way and God's going this way?
May I suggest to you, you need to stop where you've been running and turn and go the way God's leading you. Some of us today need to freshen anew. Say, God, I've been doing my own thing, living my own life. I've got my own plans. And Lord, I'm missing out on heaven's best. Can I tell you something? One day when you get to the end of your life, and you will get to the end of your life one day, and I'll get to the end of my life one day. One day when you get to the end of your life, you're going to look back and say, what in the world was I doing? What was I thinking? Why didn't I live more for the glory of God? And I know Marie said that, Jan, several times, and others thought it, no doubt. All right, now, participation. How can I really love this puzzle that comes together? How can I really love my son, my daughter? How can I really love my wife? How can you really love your husband? How can you really love your grandchildren? Your grandchildren really love you. By participation. Here, simply put, find out what they like to do and do it. Simple as that. Write it down. Find out what your loved ones like to do and do it. Don't fuss about it. Don't argue about it. Don't say, I don't like that. If you want a relationship with your loved ones, you've got to do what they want to do. I'm not talking about immorality here. I'm not talking about idolatry here. I'm talking about something that they like to do. If you want to keep them on your team, if you want to have influence in their life, find out what they want to do and do it with them. Participation. Our daughter, for example, she's never cared about football, far as I can tell. I mean, she's never been into football at all. But just this year, last year or so, she's gotten to where she likes Atlanta Falcons. In fact, she went to a ball game, and all she's been talking about, Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan. I see none of you are cheering. Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan, Matt Ryan. Well, I have one of two choices. I mean, hey, folks, y'all look at me. There was a time in my life where I was dominated by sports and football and such. I remember a time, Brother Ralph, back there, probably some of you, maybe older people remember, talk about the Falcons. Man, I remember when Claude Humphrey played defensive end, number 87. I remember when Cannonball Butler played running back. I remember when Tommy Nobis played middle linebacker. You remember him? Number 60. Greg Brazina, number 50. Man, I kept up with them. Steve Borkowski, the whole nine yards. All the stats. But some reason I lost interest in that. I'm not saying it's sin. I'm just saying I lost interest in it, okay? But anyway, if I want to have a relationship with my daughter, I've got to participate in things she likes. Hey, last Sunday night we had church. Super Bowl night, we had church. And then we dismissed from church and we went down to Brother Chris and Alice's. They had a gathering of youth and adults. Anyway, there's probably about 25, I guess, or so, maybe more down there. And I got there after we dismissed. And anyway, Dan and I were down there. And then Brother Chris shared a message at halftime. And right after halftime, Dan and I looked at each other and said, well, why don't we just head on home? You know, and we'll just head home. The score was 28-3. And you know where I'm going. Anyway, we got in the car, and we rode back home. And by the time we got home, turned TV on to see the news. Guess what? New England Patriots beat the Atlanta Falcons. Do what? You know what? Hey, listen, why am I saying all that? I'm saying it's this. I looked at Deanna, she looked at me, and I said, we need to call Beth. Text Beth and see she's okay, all right? She sent her text message, are you okay? She said, I'm all right. That was it. And I said, better yet, we need to send out a calling post to New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. This is Pastor Randy. Is New Rocky Creek okay? I should have sent out a calling post. But anyway, point being, participation. Are you finding out what God's doing? Are you doing? Are you finding out what your children are doing and joining them? Number two, conversation. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Say it with me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number two, conversation. Find out what they're talking about and join them. First of all, let's talk about God. How to really love. Don't you want to really love? How do we really love God? We learn to talk to God, right? If you love somebody, you're going to talk with them. You wouldn't have much of a relationship, Brother Jim, with Betty, if you didn't talk with them. Brother Kenneth and Marcia, y'all wouldn't have much of a relationship. Charles and Debbie, y'all got to talk to each other every once in a while. I mean, Ronnie and Kathy and Ken and Kathy and Chris and Alice, I mean, you got to have a relationship, Justin and Amy. You got to talk. I know you're busy. I know you have to make time to talk, especially when you got a busy family. Right, Jennifer, you and Stephen the same way, and Mike and you and Pam and Vicky and Kevin and you just gotta Kale and Sissy, you gotta talk, Brother Julius and Ruth, and you just gotta learn to talk. How long y'all been married, Brother Julius and Ruth? Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 61 years. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, conversation. Well, you know what? If I want to have a relationship with God, I gotta talk with Him. I got to talk with Him. Are you talking with God these days? What should I say? I'll tell you what you ought to say. You ought to talk with the Lord like I talked with the Lord today. And just before I stood up here to preach, I said, God, I'm nothing but Your everything. It's not about me. It's about You. Lord, I pray You'll move in power. You'll strengthen the homes. You'll get glory. I want to talk with my Lord. I'm not everything I ought to be. But listen to me. What is your prayer life like? Are you praying these days? When's the last time you got on your face before the Lord? Oh, if I'm going to love somebody, I got to talk with them. Conversation. When should we pray? We should pray when we face adversity. Daniel did. He was in the lion's den. And an angel came and shut the mouth of the lions. Somebody said he was reading between the lions. And I'm not lying. Daniel learned when you're facing adversity, you ought to talk to the Lord. Why, there was Jonah, the backslidden prophet, the only prophet that slept on a foam rubber mattress, somebody said. Chapter 1, he's the prejudice prophet. Chapter 2, he's the praying prophet. Chapter 3, he's the preaching prophet. Chapter 4, he is the pouting prophet. But Jonah learned in the belly of that great fish to pray. By the way, I don't have a problem about great fish swallowing Jonah. I mean, if the Bible would have said Jonah swallowed a great fish, I'd have believed it, amen? If God made the heaven and the earth, and it did, and God put everything in it, hey, the word of God is true, and let God be true and every man a liar. I'm talking about when times of adversity. What about times of insecurity? Insecurity. That's when we ought to talk to the Lord. Today, some truth be known, you're insecure, aren't you? You're wondering about the future, aren't you? You're wondering about your health, aren't you? You're wondering about your finances, aren't you? Well, you ought to talk to the Lord about it. Will you talk to the Lord about it? Because remember Hannah in the Bible? She had no children. She was barren. She couldn't fix her problem. But she learned to take it to the Lord. I said she learned how to cast her burden on the Lord. Hannah understood that God could do miracles. God could do great things. And though she was insecure, she took this thing to the Lord. Are there any mamas here today? You say, my children aren't doing right. They're not respecting me. Are there any husbands here today that said, my wife will not treat me like I think she ought to treat me? Are there any wives here today that would say, my husband's not loving me anymore? Seems like he don't want to spend time with me anymore. Well, take it to the Lord in prayer, because not only should we pray in times of adversity, but pray when we feel times of insecurity. God gave Hannah a baby. What about pray when we need victory? I love the account in the book of James chapter 5. James said it this way about Elijah. He was a light man, like passions as we. He prayed and the heavens shut up for 3.5 years. It didn't rain a drop. And then Elijah prayed. How many believe in the power of prayer? Amen and amen and amen. You want to have a relationship with God. You want to really love. I'll tell you, Elijah prayed and here comes the rain. His servant up there on Mount Carmel, he had his head between his legs. That is Elijah praying. And his servant said, here comes a little cloud. It's about the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, the rain's coming. And then James said, in James chapter 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer. Say that with me. The effectual fervent prayer. One more time. The effectual fervent prayer. You know what that means? A prayer that's red hot. A prayer that's boiling over. Not no little, now I'm going to lay me down to sleep. Oh, no. But the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It has much strength. Oh, I'm telling you. We want to have a love relationship with God. Yes, I do, Lord. Participation. Conversation. We got to learn to talk with our children. Did you hear, speaking of conversation, did you hear about the two boys They were always getting in trouble. One day, the principal decided to call them both in the office. And the older boy came in the office, and the principal looked at him. And he said, "Son, I want you to sit down right here." He sat down. He said to the boy, he had been getting in trouble all week long. He said, "Son, where is God?" The boy looked around. He said, "Son, I ask you a question. Where is God?" The little boy was looking around. He didn't know what to think. He said, "Boy, I ask you a question. Where is God?" About that time, the boy jumped up out of his seat, ran out in the hall. His brother was out in the hall, and his brother said, "What's going on?" The boy said, "We're in big trouble now." He said, "What's going on now?" He said, "God's missing, and they think we did it." Participation, yeah, and conversation. Number three, alteration. Love the Lord your God. Here's the third piece of the puzzle that we got to put together. If we're going to have really love each other, not only participation and conversation, number three, alteration. I need your help. We shall love the Lord our God with what? All of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And so we come now to the part of all of our mind. All of our mind. Alteration. Can I be personal with you for a moment? What is it in your life that needs to change? What is this keeping you from loving not only God, but maybe loving each other? Maybe it's some mixed priorities in your life. Maybe there's a change that needs to take place. Alteration. And maybe that's what's keeping us from loving as God wants us to love. Maybe it's perhaps some friends that you need to change. I talked with a person this week, and they said to me, they said, I thought this person, I could trust them, and I thought I could really depend on them, but I found later I couldn't depend on them. I reminded them, hey, you might not be able to depend on some people, but I'll tell you this, you can depend on God. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18 and 24. He won't let you down. You take to the Lord in prayer. And so, not only participation, conversation, alteration. What is God saying? Now listen, I want to get real personal with you. I'm just preaching to myself. How many of us today would say, you know what? There needs to be some change in my life. There's some stuff I've been watching on TV. There's some stuff I've been watching on movies. I know it's not becoming of a child of God, and it's really hindered my relationship with God. It's filled my mind with a bunch of junk. Our mind is a precious, precious thing. Our mind. And what we put in our mind, it affects our emotions. It affects our behavior. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is there any kind of music, young people, you've been listening to? Listen, I'm not picking on you, but there's some music that you've been listening to that is not becoming of a child of God. You know what I'm talking about. There's some music that is keeping you from really loving the Lord, isn't there? And there's some tapes and stuff you ought to come and put them on the altar today. And there's some things that you've been dabbling in that is keeping you from loving God. Well, what is it? Alteration. Then finally, and I'll be done, is the word dedication. One more time. Say it with me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Can you say you really do that? Do you really love God with your mind? With your mind? Well, what are you putting in your mind? If you're putting trash in your mind, trash in equals trash out. Don't tell me you love God and you're putting trash in your mind. Well, yeah, I really do. I know, I understand. You can still love God and put trash in your mind, but guess what? That trash is going to live trash. God's calling you today to don't put trash in your mind. Put truth in your mind. The truth of God's word. That's why Paul said, be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then last, the dedication. And this is where I get our heart. Not only our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, but dedication. Can I ask you this as we have God's invitation? When's the last time you got together with your spouse, your husband, your wife, and said, Lord, we want to dedicate our marriage to you? Oh, you say, but I did that when we got married. I mean, when have you done it lately? When's the last time, daddies and mamas, that you took those sons and daughters and say, maybe they're not even here today. That's all right. When's the last time you took them? Like Hannah did, and like Peter said, cast all your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. Have you taken them to the Lord? I'm not saying they're doing bad things. They may be doing good things. When's the last time
You brought yourself, Christian friend, and rededicated your life to the Lord. When's the last time you said, "Dear God, I want my mind to love you. I want my heart to love you. I want my soul, everything that I am, to love you." Not pretense. Well, you know what you need to do as we stand to our feet today.